Do you know if you are in Christ, Jesus calls you his brother, his sister? This is Wednesday, April 3rd. Now, I know we throw these words around lightly, brother, sister, because in the West, in America, the power of family has been dissolving for a couple of hundred years. Instead of extended families, we refer mostly to the nuclear family, a dad, a mom, maybe one or two children. But in the ancient world, your family was everything, and for the Jewish people, even more so. God gathered his people in families, and he allotted resources to his people by family and by clans of families. You would grow up on the same land that you would come to tend and care for all of your life. Your children and your grandchildren, your aunts and uncles and cousins would always be nearby, often living on the same plot of ground. Either a person was in your family or not. And if that person was in your family, you took care of them, you tended to their needs, you came to their defense, and you supported them in trials. You lived for the support of your family. And the measure of a person's character was in whether they cared for their family and the sacrifices they made for the success of their family members. A man faithful to his family was considered a faithful man or woman. Now, these were thick relationships of the kind we know little of today. Now, that's background for our scripture text from Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 to 10. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now here we have the resurrection as explained by the apostle Matthew, one of the appearances of Jesus. And I want to jump to the message given to the women by Jesus when they first encounter him. Remember, the disciples are huddling in fear, thinking the life of Jesus is over. And Jesus tells the women to pass along this message. "Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee." Now, Jesus had planned to meet them there. We hear about this at the Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John went up a mountain with Jesus and saw him in his glory. We are told about Jesus at that time. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. After this event, the three disciples, as they were going down the mountain, were told not to share this with anyone until Jesus was raised from the dead. Now that time has come. But notice that Jesus calls his disciples his brothers. In their world of family first, this is beyond shocking. Jesus has never called his disciples brothers. So what has happened? Jesus died for them. He has reconciled them to the Father. And by his death, he has brought them into his family. They are now joined to the family of God. Jesus has taken our place in death so that he might give us a place in God's family forever. Think about what this means. You have a loving Heavenly Father. You never have to wonder if God cares for you, if God is for you. How could this happen to us? John tells us in his gospel, "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's John chapter 1, verse 12. Yes, we receive Christ by faith. We find ourselves in Christ. We discover that we are received into the family of God. We are his, and we share the same rights and privileges as sons and daughters of the living God. Now, we just looked at how durable and significant the family was in the ancient world. This is what we have been given by God through Jesus. This is why there will be room in the Father's house for you and for me. This is why we are co-heirs with Christ. We are co-inheritors of the Father's estate. I love the way this new relationship is explained in the book of Hebrews. This is what we're told. But the one who makes people holy, that's Jesus, and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. Yes, Jesus will declare your name when you go home. Could that be true? He will actually be the one announcing you as a member of your new family. And it says he will sing your praises. But that's what we're told in Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. We shouldn't be shocked. We are told that our Father sings over us. What do you think he is singing? Likely he's singing, you are mine and I am yours. Because this is the status we receive because Jesus came and Jesus died and Jesus rose again. It is this we rest in every day, knowing the love of our Father. And when you first see Jesus, likely his words will be an introduction. Here's my brother. Here's my sister. Welcome home. This is the new status that we have been given on the basis of Jesus' death for us and his resurrection on our behalf. Let's pray and give thanks to God. Father God, this is too much for us to take in, that you have welcomed us into your family. We know we're not worthy of praise, but Jesus is. Help us to live our lives in him, for in his name we pray. Amen.